welcome to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Ekedahl, modern day woman living a mystical life. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the frequency of money, such an important conversation. And as you know, I'm all about raising the frequency, not only in my own life and in your own life, but of the planet in general. And we're going to talk about some real practical and easy ways to start integrating more off the charts, high frequency vibes into our lives. If you're new to frequency, or if you've studied it for years, you are at the perfect place. I've always believed that frequency is an awesome truth that is hidden in plain view, meaning that it's been around forever, it is right in front of us all the time, and it is even a part of us. And yet it's been buried in the complex language of scientific journals or spoken about in spiritual circles, but it has not been widely shared in a way that we can easily relate to and that we can integrate into our lives. You know, frequency has its roots in science and is often spoken about when relating to energy. And so I thought I'd talk about the definition of frequency. It is the rate at which a vibration occurs that constitutes a wave, either in a material, as in sound waves, or in an electromagnetic field, as in radio waves and light, usually measured per second. Have I lost you yet? It's like my brain totally shuts down when I'm reading anything that is deeply scientific. And so I'm going to give you my own definition of frequency because I think this is why frequency gets lost. It gets into this deeply scientific language, and we can't see how that relates to me manifesting more money or more abundance or you manifesting a new relationship or the health that you want, which is really why and how we want to use frequency in our life. So move over Merriam-Webster's dictionary. My definition of frequency is the rate at which the energy that you are is attracting what you want into your life. So a high frequency state would mean that you're attracting what you want into your life at a faster pace. And a low frequency state would be attracting what you want at a slower pace, or maybe you haven't even learned how to attract purposefully what you want into your life. I think a great way to start really understanding and visualizing frequency is to picture an old-fashioned radio dial in a car. You know, those old radios where they had the big dial where you change the station. Maybe I'm dating myself, but I was alive during the era of 8-track tapes, you know, prior to the cassette and the CD and all this digital downloading that we do. So I'm thinking back to my younger years as a small child, and there was this big dial where we would turn, you know, from station to station. So when you turn the dial, you know, once you might hear country music and then maybe rock and roll, and then you turn it again and maybe there's at a different frequency, there's talk radio. You know, what we're doing is, as we're changing that dial, is we're dialing in a new energy wave, right, through which different music is being played. So picture all of these different waves moving through the sky, stacked on top of each other, but not touching each other. And as you're turning that dial, you're moving to different waves, right, to tune in to a different frequency of music. Now, here's the cool part. We can literally use our own body and the energy that we are at our core to tune into different frequencies. So we can change the radio station of our life, meaning we can start dialing in and connecting with a whole new set of experiences once we know how. And the anatomy of transformation that we talk about at the end of each show is the how-to process of raising your energy frequency. So let's say you want to have better relationships or more money, or you want to have a healthier body. Then we want to start resonating at the frequency of health or abundance or connection, or maybe all of those. You know, we have the power and the ability to change the energy in our lives whenever we want to and if we learn how to. So this is powerful stuff, right? And on today's episode, I had a super powerful conversation about how frequency relates to money with my friend and client, the extraordinary Shoshana Bean. If you know Shoshana, then you know she tells it straight, she's from the heart, and she shares some incredible stuff in this episode. She is a veteran of the Broadway stage, having made her debut in the original cast of Hairspray. She was also very well known as the green-skinned witch in Wicked. She's topped the number one iTunes R&B and blues charts in the US and the UK. She has sold out solo concerts around the globe, lent her voice to countless films and television shows, shows, amassed millions of views on YouTube. She's toured with Postmodern Jukebox. She's performed alongside of Brian McKnight and B.B. Winans. And she also sang backup for Michael Jackson for his 30th anniversary concert at Madison Square Garden. And she has a voice that will make you cry in all of the best ways. And right before we got on to record this episode, I asked her what she wanted to talk about. You know, we kind of came into it just saying it will organically happen. What's meant to come out will come out. And so I asked her what new awareness she's been having in her own life. And she said she really felt called to talk about money and how she's transforming her story about money. And this is such a huge topic. And she had amazing, huge breakthroughs to share. And I couldn't be more excited to listen to her powerful insights and suggestions on how she's been breaking through her blocks and barriers to money. And she shares how you can too. So with no further ado, the amazing Shoshana. Hey, Shoshana. I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
Hi, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And I'm so excited about the topic we're going to talk about. This is such a big one. And we were just talking about this before we actually hit record. And you brought it up, which I love. I don't like to plan these things, right? I like these spontaneous conversations. I like real conversations. I like things that come from like that place of truth. And so I was asking you, you know, what's come up for you? What's going on in your life? And what do you think you can share powerfully about? And you were saying being powerful with money. And I'm so happy you brought this up because I know you said you get, you know, lots of people talking about not feeling like they don't have enough and feeling like money is just a struggle for them. And I see the same thing in my work. And you were just talking about a breakthrough with that. So let's just dive right in to this powerful conversation about money and tell me a little bit about, you know, what's going on with you and some of the things that you've discovered.
I think that it all started because I took on this gigantic challenge and commitment this year of making my fourth record. And it all kind of came to a head when I thought, you know, I know how to make a record fast, efficiently, cheaply. I know how to do it easily. And this is now my fourth project, so I know how to do that if I need to. What would happen if there weren't limits on this new record? What would happen if I could make it with all of the budget that I need to have everything, not just the minimal? Like, what if I actually had a stylist and a video crew this time? What if I actually catered food for the band? Like, what if I did things on a scale with things that I've deemed, you know, in the past, extraneous or unnecessary because there wasn't the budget for it? What if I just shot for the moon and see where I land, you know? So it terrified me because it's the biggest budget album, you know, putting all those things in with having like, you know, the dream scenario, it became the biggest budget and by double, like it doubly is the biggest budget. So take my biggest budget album and multiply it by two. And that's this one. So it terrified me. And, I had to really confront my issues with money, like in a real, real powerful way that I haven't yet done. And the issues with money are there's never enough. You know, as soon as you get it, it goes away. Like all the stories that I've had and been telling myself and realized that I was raised hearing as well. We can't afford it. There isn't enough. If only there was. And also like having opinions about people who do have it or, you know, people that it comes easily to or whatever else. And I just had to like start by really just with that work. So, someone that I'm working with had recommended this book by Jen Sincero called You're a Badass at Making Money. So I started there. And then there were just a series of other books that I just then began devouring because I wanted more of this concept. And because it's a new concept for me, I knew that I needed to literally surround myself with, with it, like the padding of it. So that if I started to slip, there was something, you know, to remind me because A, I've spent almost 40 years of my life in a certain mindset. And B, I'm surrounded by other people who are like-minded. You know, one of the things that she says in the book and that you know, a lot of these sort of books say is you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. You know, you are sort of made up of those people. And so I looked at the people that I spend the most time with and we have a very similar conversation going. So I knew I needed to really shore myself up, maybe change the people that I spend time with, change the things that I'm reading, change the input basically. And I read that book first. I read another book called The Big Leap. I read the next Jen Sincero book, or the first one actually, which is just You Are a Badass. And then she wrote You're a Badass at Making Money. All the concepts are so like in sync with each other. And then Jen recommends two other books around money. One is the Wallace Wattles book. I don't know the title off the top of my head. And then another one that's like ancient by Napoleon Hill, called The Fundamentals of Getting Rich or something like that. I'll give you the actual names. There it is.
Yes.
And they're all the same concept. And I was like, okay, Shoshana, there's no getting around this. Like, you've now read five books that are all basically telling you the same thing. And it's nothing new. It's nothing that every coach and every energy worker and every, you know, it's nothing that everyone hasn't told me. But these broke it down and spoke to my logic brain in such a clear and concise way that I was like, you have no choice right now but to sit down and put pen to paper and like break it down. And I think the concept and the idea of money has always been so nauseating to me and so gross. And so I just lean on the like surrender aspect. I'm like, hey, whatever God wants me to have, whatever the universe wants me to have, like this, I guess this is where I'm apparently meant to be. And in the times where I have sort of toyed unknowingly in the fundamentals of these, you know, what these books tout and teach, I've had results, but I just didn't realize that that's what I was doing. So I wasn't as religious about it. So basically it's just forming a plan. It's being brave enough to sit down and look at what you need, being willing to dream big. You know, I think these books also taught me, and I started to learn this with you, but these really drove the point home of like, you're not dreaming big enough. Like you're asking, A, you're not putting in a very specific order, and B, why are you playing so small with your dreams? When you were younger, your dreams were gigantic. And then I think, and with a lot of us, our dreams are gigantic when we're younger. And I'm even talking like in my 20s, they were still gigantic, you know, and then life just started to happen. And every time a dream didn't come true, and every time I took a hit, and every time like things didn't go the way I wanted, it just kind of chipped away at my heart and my dreaming muscles and my belief. And here I have found myself staring at almost turning 40 in 40 days. And I'm like, what happened to the dreamer? What happened to that ferocious little girl in my 20s, even, who like would not take no for an answer? There were things like, obviously I'm grateful that I'm not that girl anymore, because there were things you couldn't tell her. But what happened to my like unreasonable pursuit of my dreams? And so that's where all this like commitment to like, I don't care what the steps are. Like if there's a way to make this stuff happen for myself, from the album to like not just getting this gigantic budget for the album together, but like then making this my best album yet and like letting it really expand my life and career in the direction of my dreams, you know? So these books just give you, and for those of us who are very logical, you know, you can speak to my heart on one level, but then my brain has a tendency to be like, ah, that doesn't compute. and these books just really spoke to like, okay, well, when you're feeling like you don't believe, then here's some actual tactical tasks for your hands to do, since you love to do things. And, you know, if I can break it down, like all I really did, and the Napoleon Hill book is the one that breaks it down in the most bare bones, simple terms. It's breaking down exactly what you want, what your goal is. And you can, the beautiful thing I've learned is you can do this with more than just money. For me, it started with money. And I had to, like I said, clean up my stories about it and really get to the bottom of those and realize a lot of those weren't even mine. You know, I've done work with you, obviously, that led me to see that a lot of my stuff isn't even mine. It got on me, you know, as it does growing up in a household where these were the beliefs and these were the words said and these were the actions taken. So cleaning up the story, I guess, would be the first thing, is like getting clear about how you feel about money, how you talk to it, like treating it like a human being. I had to clean up my relationship with it as if we were in a relationship. Yeah. And Jen, the Jen Sincero books tell you to do that, tells you to write a letter to money, to apologize for the way that you use it, abuse it, treat it, talk about it, believe in it, like all of that, and really make a new commitment to how you're going to be with it. And then the next step, which I hate these kinds of things. I hate, like, in the past anyway, I have hated restriction, guidelines. I hate that. So I had to sit down and look at what my monthly budget is. Like, what is my monthly budget? So what do I need to pull in every month to meet that? And then if I'm also trying to save to make a record, what additionally do I need to pull in? And how am I going to pull that in? Am I just going to, like, do I need to contact some people and get some gigs going? Do I need to push my masterclass series more and get some more income going? Do I need to just, you know, and so some of it is like, what can I do to generate this? And if you're like me and you have a business where maybe sometimes you can't generate your own funds, like they just kind of come out of nowhere. Then the beautiful thing about the Napoleon Hill book is it says, like, I've decided I'm going to make this amount of money by this date. It will be in my possession. It will come to me by doing the work of being a singer, an actress, a songwriter, a teacher, a session work singer. Like, it'll come to me doing the things that I do. It will come to me in the interim as it's, you know, in somewhere in this time frame, it will come. I already see myself having it. This is what I'm doing with it. This is how I feel when it comes into my possession. Because for people like me, I can't always say I'm going to take on 5 clients and do da-da-da-da. I'm going to sell an extra house this month. Like, it's not as specific for me. It looks like, because I know what I make per gig, it looks like 5 gigs a month for this amount of money. And the cool thing is, like, I did it for the first time last month and I laid all these specifics out and the money did not come the way that I said it would, but it came. I got the exact amount and more that I asked for, that I had intended, created. But it didn't come how I specifically laid out. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to specifically lay it out anymore. I'm just going to say, I make my money as a singer, a songwriter, a performer, and a teacher. And however that comes through, I'm willing to show up. Do you know what I mean? To the best of my ability, to the most quantity that I can complete. But this is the money I'm making by this date. And it came in ways that I didn't, you know, expect.
Yeah, and this is really the principles of energy, right? So the show, it's called The Soul Frequency Show, and we're talking about frequency and energy and how it works, right? And you've heard many times, I'm sure, like, you know, money is just energy, right? And so basically, when we start putting an intention out there, which is, again, energy, right? So you're saying, I'm going to make this amount of money, you know what I mean? And this is how I want to do it. That energy is going out. And it's not really our responsibility how it comes back to us, right? Or where it comes from.
Right.
They say, you know, shake an apple tree and you get an orange. It's that type of thing. It's just that the intention goes out, right? And then a lot of times, I mean, I know you're saying, you know, with your career, it's like, it's not so much like, oh, 5 clients in this amount of time, but it really works the same way you're describing for anyone, right? So they might say, I want these 5 clients this month, but then they get 5 different clients that come from some other place.
Yeah.
That's miraculous,
yeah.
Right? And so it's really letting go of this holding on for a certain outcome that our human mind wants to do all the time. You know, it only can happen this way, right? It has to happen exactly like this. And instead, just being totally open to how it comes, but putting a very strong intention out there, which is great to write down, you know, through writing it down, through getting clear, like a lot of the stuff you're talking about is brilliant with that. And also, yes, treating it like a relationship, right? I mean, it's like, if you think about the way that you are relating to money as a boyfriend, right? That relationship probably wouldn't have been going well for you. You know, it's like constantly thinking, it's like having a boyfriend or a husband and thinking they're cheating on you all the time. They don't like you. They're not coming around. You know what I mean? You're yelling at them all the time. Why don't you do this? You know, why aren't you coming around? Why aren't you fulfilling my needs? And that's just negative energy, right, that we're putting out. And so tell us a little bit. I think this is really powerful because I know your history because we've worked together. And I love what you're talking about a lot of it wasn't yours, because I don't think most people relate to that, like right off the bat, that their money story really can be not even theirs, right? It can be something they were born into. So take us back to your history a little bit. In looking back on your life, like, what was the money story, you know what I mean, going on in your family, and how did you adopt that?
Before I forget, I want to speak about what you were saying about it's just energy, because I've heard that my whole life since I've been, you know, working with people like you, and it never computed. So the second piece for me has not just been putting, you know, cleaning up my relationship and putting pen to paper and setting these goals, but it is it's daily work. So to keep yourself in that frequency of the energy that would bring money to you. So if money is energy, it rides at a certain frequency. as does God, as does all the things that create in the universe. It is at a certain frequency. So if my frequency dips, I'm no longer in alignment with calling forth that energy or that dream or that whatever it is that you're trying to call forth. So my full-time job has been keeping myself in a high vibe. And that comes from gratitude. Most of the time lately, it's come from just going back into my visualizing these dreams that I have in place. It's going back to the script that I wrote about, like, I'm getting this money by this point in time. This is what I'm going to do with it. It's almost like I'm like autistic or something and continually repeating these things to myself. But if I slip out of that alignment, I'm putting that dream and the money and all that stuff at bay. I'm literally pushing it away. And so when people say money is energy, it's that money is at the income of that and the treatment is all at a certain frequency of energy. So it's really been about getting, not just getting myself into alignment with that, but keeping myself there. And that goes, you know, some days you wake up and it's the last thing you want to do is look at that script. Or for me, my little devil comes in and is like, this is bull. You really believe all this is going to happen, Shoshana? Okay. You know, like, why is this record different? Why is this time different? You're, you know, so it's really just about like, and I'm going to yoga now because I'm not listening to that right now. Or I'm going to go back to my script, or I'm going to look at my vision board. Like, all of these things aren't the thing that's going to make it happen, but all of them help to keep that frequency in a place where you're in alignment with the things that you want. So I think that was the missing piece for me, is like, okay, I'll write in a book every day. Okay, I'll get a vision board together. What is that doing? Well, those are my crutches. Those are my drugs of choice when I'm starting to not believe, or when I'm starting to get worrisome or doubtful or whatever. So that I just wanted to like,
yeah. And it's really funny because I just, in my book, the fourth section is alignment, and it talks about how that is the glue, right? That is the glue that holds us, and how important, like you were mentioning, people, right? The people we hang around, because alignment oftentimes happens. We're always vibrating with the people we're with. We're exchanging energy all the time. We're exchanging ideas, belief systems, thoughts, limitations, all of these things, right? And we start to absorb everything that is around us in our environment. And this is why people that understand this are very careful about the people they hang around, right? And what they put themselves around. They understand that they're going to be, they can't stop it from happening. You know, it's part of being human that we're taking on this energy of people around us little by little over time. And it's becoming part of us, you know, it's becoming the way we think and stuff. And so that alignment piece, you know, it's like oftentimes with losing weight, right? We can go on a diet, right? We can lose weight, or people have a success for a period of time. And then they feel like they don't hold it in alignment in their life ongoing, right? And it's that solidifying that needs to happen through alignment. And so literally, like, I mean, it's why it's the last section of my book, because to me, it's like everything, right? It's like 80% of the whole deal, because we can all do something for a period of time. Like, you can, you know, start having different thoughts about money for a period of time, but it's that slipping back that you're talking about. If it's not a daily practice, if it's not something that you are continuing to hold that alignment, reconnect to it. And eventually over time, that becomes easier and easier, right? Because your brain is actually then going, oh yeah, right. This is what we do. Right. And so it's a learning process. And I love that you share about that, because it's so important to realize it's not just, oh, one day I'm, you know, transforming my relationship with X, Y, or Z, and then I'm done. Right. It's that daily practice of stuff that keeps it. And especially when I know you're going to share about kind of your history with it, but if we've had, you know, 10, 20, 30 years of history thinking one way about it, right, it doesn't change in a day. Right. It's a process. Yeah. Of reprogramming our brains. So take us back to some of the belief systems that you kind of discovered you took on.
Oh, just the number one is just that there's never enough. And I said that phrase about time and money. I'm still working on this with time. But with money, it just, there's never enough. We can't afford that. And just a lot of, like, I just remember, like, a lot of my parents had very wealthy friends, but there was a resentment or oh, well, we don't have that. You know what I mean? Like, there's just this, I can't pinpoint with a proper word what the feeling was, but there was just like a feeling that we aren't level with that. And that's a bad thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a lot of that. And just, and it never really, I never found it on me until I knew what it was to have money and then not have it again. Does that make sense? Once I was out in the real world, once I first came into the real world and was on my own, I went into it. Like, I remember getting my first apartment in New York and my parents being like, how are you going to afford that? And I was like, I always do. Like, I choose things and then I pay for them. Like, you've always said that about when I got my first car or when I did this or that, like when I went to college, like I just have, it just do. Like, I kind of inherently just knew that if I would just take the leap, the net would appear. And then my 20s were like that. I just always had what I needed. You know, I had great jobs. I had great money coming in. I saved. I had a lovely lifestyle. I bought the things I wanted. I took care of the people I wanted to. And then once I wasn't in a position when I took a bigger leap to not be, you know, getting a paycheck every week when you're employed by someone, I became self-employed, you know, started making my own records and doing my own gigs. And that became a much more dangerous arena for me. And then the mindset shifted to like, ooh, because it doesn't come every Thursday and get deposited into my account, like when I'm employed by someone else, this is a dangerous place. And it is a place of lack and limitation. Mm. And that's just kind of where I lived for the past 10 years or so, was like, you know, it just, I think my belief and my view of life, some hard stuff happened to me. And I think I started to take that to mean that like I was not deserving or I wasn't good enough or life, you know, wasn't meant to be, you know, I had my good time in my 20s or whatever I started to believe. And so, and a lot of my parents started coming out, you know, I thought they were right. Like, there just isn't enough. And, you know, and maybe there was also a belief, you know, in my household from early on that if you're an artist or if you're going to pursue this, you're going to have a hard time. There was a support for me pursuing being an artist. But from my dad's side, there was definitely like, Lord, I'll be supporting you your whole life. Mm-hmm. And that shame has been on me, and that guilt and that sort of that got on me. So if you're a parent and you're listening to this, you think you make like just comments in passing. I mean, I'm sure if I said that, my dad would say, I said that. Yeah. But you will be surprised what sticks. And that's not just parents. That's friends. That's anybody. You say things that you think are funny or passive aggressive or whatever, and things stick. And that's on us. You know, that's on me that I allowed that to stick and that it was buried so deeply in my subconscious for so long. But it's just really been about getting present to like what I believe and what I think and where it came from, and forgiving the people that maybe put it on me, and understanding like they have, you know, my parents came from people who lived through the Depression. You know, they lived through having to, you know, make something out of nothing. And to be honest, my lean times of my 30s where I had a lot and then I had nothing, like I'm proud that I went through that because I know how to make something out of nothing. I know how to make things last. I know, you know, but I also have finally realized like, you don't have to live that way. God, the universe, life needs you and wants you to have everything that you want. Because if you have that, you have all the money you want to do what you want to do. And you have all the resources and all you are able to give that much more to this planet. You need all that money to make this record this good because people need this record. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just about me having, you know, the house and the shoes and the wardrobe and whatever that I want. It's about setting everybody up for having, you know, for more positivity, more art, more beauty. Like, if I can do what I want to do, then I'll be able to facilitate even more people doing what they want to do, you know?
Yeah.
I just went on a tangent and didn't quite answer your question, but I just realized like, you know, my parents came super far from where their parents were. So I don't resent them for setting me up to go even further than they went. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And my mom used to read books and have coaches like I have you, and, you know, and she took it so far. Even still today, she has an interest in it, but there is a block for her in the belief of the abundance that is out there. But she took it to an extent that I picked it up, and now, like, you know, they did more, so I can do more.
Yeah.
And God willing, my kids will do even more. So, yeah, just a bunch of weird statements that were made or energy that I picked up on growing up that I realized. And I'm making a point now to, you know, go towards the things that I used to not want to hang around with rich people because it made me feel shitty about myself. Sorry, bad about myself. And now I'm doing that and learning from, you know, you and I talked about that. You're like, go where it is that what you want is. Go be around the people who are doing what you want. Go be around the people that have what you want. And I think I was so embarrassed and ashamed that I didn't have that level of success or that kind of money that I was just keeping myself away from it and thereby keeping it away from me. So now, as weird as it feels, you know, I just put myself in those situations. I shop in those places. Even if I'm not dropping my credit card, that's where I'm going. I'm hanging out in those neighborhoods where I want to live. I'm spending time with and picking the brain of people who have the kind of success that I want, just to see, you know, there's things that are not going to rub well with me, you know, but there's going to be things, you know, that I pick up on that really are going to benefit me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's exactly what, you know, we all need to do. Everyone needs to do at those different levels. And I love your openness and honesty. And that's really what this show is about, because I think it's really easy in life to think that, you know, certain people have it a certain way and other people don't. And so, you know, even in your amazing career, you know, some people probably think you don't have problems, right? Or you don't have areas that you want to grow in. And it's like, no matter where we're going in life or where we have grown to, there's always more. There's always that next level. And opening up to it, like, I can hear the excitement and the joy in your voice of having these breakthroughs, right? And I've watched so many of them in the work that we did together. But it's like, you hit the nail on the head. The more art you can create, right, that elevates other people's lives, it's a gift, right? It's a gift that you were bestowed in this lifetime, right, that you're supposed to share on every level so that other people can wake up to their gifts, right? So that other people can feel inspired, right, and excited about their own lives through your music, through what you share, and through what you're sharing right here. I can already feel that there will be people listening to this just going, oh my gosh, there I am, there I am, there I am. You know, I've been there. And that is how, those are those moments that we start seeing something a little bit different, right? And maybe we've had that old belief system for decades, right? But this conversation right here has someone thinking in a different way, right? Has someone looking at their own life and what's possible for them in a new way. And so it's such a gift, right? It's such a gift to pass this information along. And I have watched you, you know, over the past year or so, just continue to, you know, it's like little bubbles popping open, right? To new awareness, new expansiveness, right? And new ability to share yourself in all kinds of cool ways. And I just think it's amazing. And I love everything that you're sharing about this new awareness. And it's so funny because I mean, I really don't play on this show because I'm all about the spontaneity in the moment. And so we had no idea we were going to be talking about this subject. Yet I feel like it's so perfect because we need to hear this, right? As humanity, right? Because think about people's money story. I think it's probably one area that is literally the most challenging for the most amount of people, where we have some really intense stories around it. And the fact that you brought the word shame into it, I think is really powerful, because that's what I feel like is kind of at the heart, right? That there's this shame that we think we should be somewhere else than where we're at, or we should not feel how we feel about it. And so the shame is what has us hide, right? It's this feeling like, I don't know if I belong here, or I don't know if I deserve this. I feel, you know, shamed. I'm not where I think I should be or where other people think I should be. And that is one of the biggest hindrances. And it reminds me of stories like on alignment of where, you know, you hear about a kid that grows up and maybe, you know, his family didn't have much, and he ends up being an apprentice for somebody who's very successful. And what's happening in that relationship is that every day that kid's going into work and aligning with that person that's very successful, right? And starting to think like that person thinks, and starting to be in the room when those business meetings happen, and starting to integrate, right, that into their belief system, into the way they talk to people, and it's like that kid is able to grow up and replicate what their mentor taught them, right? It's, if we understood that it's as simple as what we put ourselves around. It's as simple as what we're vibing with. It is that simple, right? It's not that, oh, she's just smarter, right? Or she grew up in the right family, or he just is, you know, a better musician or more talented, right? It's really all in our heads, right? And our ability to take action and put ourselves in the right environments.
Yeah, totally.
That's it.
And I think there was something you said. Oh, when sometimes I have shot myself in the foot by being like, oh yeah, your art is really going to save the planet. Like your CD is really going to, but it's also like, if I have everything I want, think about how many people I will employ. Think about like what I can do for the people that I love. Think about what I can do for the philanthropies that I support. Like it's not just about, you know, there's so many things that can be done when you have your dreams come true and you have all of the money that you want. And I think the other thing is, you know, the biggest thing is I think that money's just always been a bad thing, you know? And yeah. I think a lot of people think that. They say they hate money. Oh God, the amount of times I hear that a day, I'm so keenly aware of it now when people say that. I'm like, don't say that. Like money does. And that's the first thing that Jen talks about in the book is like, and at the end of every chapter is like, I love money because like you have to understand yep. that while there are people who abuse money and do horrible things with it and because of it, money is the reason that, like, you know, I get to record albums. Money is the reason that I get to take vacations with my family. Money is the reason that I have food in my belly. Money is the reason that, you know, we have beautiful architecture and, you know, art to look at. Like, money is the thing that makes everything happen, basically. So that's the shame around it and the hate of it, the disdain and the feelings, they all have to turn to something else because really, you know,
I think it's this point too, where it's like, we make these distinctions that are not truth. And one of them is like, you know, certainly in the world of spirituality, like I can't be spiritual and have money, or I am a heart-centered person. Therefore, you know what I mean? I'm not a money person. Like these dichotomies get created that are not real, right? It's like born into abundance. We are abundance. Like we are meant to embrace abundance of all sorts in our life. And so it's really getting to the root of like where you might be thinking in your head on a black or white situation like that. Like I'm either this or that, right? And I want to be a heart-centered, kind, loving person. Therefore, it's almost like a shunning of money because like you said, money's evil or money's bad or you know, all these ideas about it. And so really, you know, I'm huge on self-awareness and self-awareness is, I call it saves the day, when we can look inside of ourselves and see where we're doing that internally. Because oftentimes, I mean, I don't know, what do you think? Like, so much of this that you've realized, like you weren't present to that before. You weren't walking around thinking, gosh, I have all these money stories and where do they come from? And it was just like, that was your reality. Right. And so only by being able to step back a second and say, okay, what am I telling myself every day? And what am I living from? And what are the decisions that I've made about money or life or success, right? That aren't really mine, right? Maybe I inherited them from my parents or from people in my environment. And I don't really want to subscribe to that anymore. I mean, to me, that's the beauty of being human, is that at any point we can have some self-awareness and say, you know what? I don't want to live by that code anymore. I don't want to subscribe to that. I want to do something different, which is what you're doing, which is awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for setting my train on the tracks.
It's been an incredible thing to watch. And just like you, you know, like you've experienced probably so many times with your music, to be able to give that gift and have someone take that gift and just allow that to expand and grow and, you know what I mean? And blossom in all these new ways is like, it fulfills everything inside of me and my mission, right? And just me beam from ear to ear and makes me the happiest person, you know, to hear that. And so I love that. And we are going to close with four questions I always ask. And it's based on my process, which is the anatomy of transformation. And the first question is, the first step in the process is getting to our truth, right? And so where in your life have you been either getting to your truth or have gotten to a truth inside of yourself that shifted your life powerfully?
Oh, God, that's tough. Where have I gotten to a truth? I mean, I guess I would just say most recently it was with money. I was living a lie around money. So is that fair? Is that a fair answer? Or does that have to be true about myself?
No, that's a big one.
Oh, okay. I was living a lie about money for my whole life. And the truth is, there's more than enough. There's a source where all things come from, and that's kind of where you place your orders. You don't look at the reality or ask things from what you see. You ask from a source that is like where everything comes from. That makes sense?
Love that. Yes. So good. The second pillar is release. And once we get to those deep inner truths that maybe we hadn't seen before, it's time to start releasing the things we don't want to own anymore or we don't want to live from anymore. So what is something that either you want to release going forward or you have released that was powerful for you?
I think I've released a non-deservedness, like a non-deserving. And I am still working on, it's a big one, the battle of like the not good enoughness, you know? So I've gotten rid of the, like, you don't deserve certain things.
Yeah.
And I'm still working on like, you're good enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. And the third pillar is called experience. And this is really where we talk about the creation equation and how we use our thoughts and feelings and to create our reality. So what is it that you want to create more of in your life?
Always more creativity. I feel like there's more in me and I just haven't found the secret portal to access it yet. As a musician, as a writer, as an idea thinker, like as a channel for new ideas, and I just creativity.
I love it. And the fourth pillar is align, meaning like we were talking about aligning yourself with people, experiences, inner alignment. What do you find yourself wanting to continue to align yourself with?
Greatness, abundance, people who are just constantly creating amazing things and that energy is coming back at them, and people who are up to constantly challenging themselves and raising the bar and greatness.
I love that so much. It's so good. I want to clap so loud, but I'll blow out my mic. So I'm just going to clap silently. But tell us, before we end here, I want people to know where they can find you, website, and a little bit about your masterclass series, and even give us your Instagram too, because if you guys want to follow somebody who's fun and traveling the world and having a good time and creating awesome things, you want to follow Shoshana. So give us all that info.
Oh, thank you. My website is shoshanabean.com. Facebook.com/ShoshanaBean, Twitter is ShoshanaBean @ShoshanaBean, and then Instagram is @ShoBean. But if you just go to the website, all the links to all the socials are there. My masterclass series is geared towards performers, but oddly enough, I think the majority of people who have benefited from it are not performers. It just speaks to confidence and intentions and how to take care of yourself. Again, mostly geared towards, you know, my specific area of expertise, which is as a singer or performer. But I think that a lot of the challenges we face as performers are just the challenges we face as human beings. So I think everyone can benefit from them. So there's a package of lecture videos essentially on my website that Shauna sort of set me on the path to make. She was like, you really should like share what you know. And again, there's a lot of shame in why I know the things that I know, because there's been a lot of, you know, trips and falls. But I think that if we talk about this stuff, everyone's sharing the same experience. And I think it's really important that we talk about it so that people don't feel ashamed and they know that it's part of the gig, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a great series and it's so fun and funny. I mean, I was like, I had a hand in giving this idea, but like you just knocked it out of the park. And when I watched the video, I was like dying. I'm like, you are so funny and so much fun. And I love every bit of it. And there's seriously, I mean, it is geared towards performers, but like you said, it's everything that we all deal with when we're trying to step up into our greatness, right? And continue to expand our lives. We all deal with fear. We all deal with, you know, how to move beyond that to be all that we can be and who we came here to be. And so you talk a lot to that and staying healthy and things like that. So it's a not to miss series, and you're a lot of fun on video, just like you are on audio. So catch up with Shoshana and stay connected with her, because this new project that she's working on, she's writing songs for right now, that's going to come out, is going to be absolutely incredible. I just feel this.
And thank you. You
will want to know all about it. It's already getting, you know, a lot of fanfare and excitement from her fans. And so I cannot wait to get I get like a pre-copy, don't I?
Of course you do.
Did I get to be like one of the first to hear it? I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're VIP. You'll probably hear it before it's even out, so don't worry. You're in the inner team.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So excited. Thank you so much for taking time out of your writing to be here with us. You're the best. And for everything that you shared, I know it's going to touch so many people's lives.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a good break from the writing because now I feel fueled up and ready to get back to it.
Awesome. Well, go write an awesome song and we will look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too, honey. All right, bye.
Bye, honey.
If you liked today's episode and have any questions, I would love to hear from you. So send your thoughts and questions to info@shaunaekadahl.com. And if you want to help raise the frequency around the world, leave us a review so we can keep sending out some good vibes. Until next week, my hope and wish for you is that you love big and live abundantly.